Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, John Reed, Cody McClure, Cam Black, for the next 3 hours with Talk Sports and other things powered by Lloyd's Electric. How are we today? Thumbs up from Cam as he's rocking his Falcons jersey. Another win as they're going to finish 9-7, 8-8, miss the playoffs, and be the best team in football at the end of the year, apparently. Cody, how are you, my friend?
Doing great, John. Ready to roll here. It's Monday edition. It's good to be here. It's good to be anywhere in our fair city. How are you?
Solid. How was your weekend? Good?
Fine.
Yeah?
Yeah. I didn't do a whole lot, you know, yesterday. Typical. Just kind of watched some NFL games. Sure. Well, I did a lot of cleaning yesterday.
Okay.
A lot of laundry. I don't know if I've told you, but my washing machine is broken. I probably told you that, haven't
you
I?
You mentioned you need a new washing machine.
We still haven't gotten one. Just kind of putting it off, whatever.
It is what it is.
It's only $2 to go to the community washroom, and they got like 6 washers in there. And so, you know, it's not bad. I do a couple loads of clothes, $4, something like that, you know. And then yeah. I bag them up and I take them back to the apartment to dry them. But yesterday was awful. Because they had so many people in there that had the same idea, which, you know, a lot
Sunday's
of people, yeah.
Probably laundry day for a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of people like doing their laundry on Sunday, but I've never seen it that bad. And there was some person who I hope today is dead who had, so there's 6 washing machines
Seems
in there.
Seems a little extreme.
It's not when I tell you what happened. There's 6 washing machines in there, right?
It's going to have to be a bad story for me to say, you know what, I hope they're dead.
There's 6 washing machines
I'm
in
listening.
There. It's community. It's, you know, everybody's friendly. It's people that live there. There's
sure.
no outsiders, no strangers. This person, and I don't know if it's a man or a woman, doesn't matter, 3 washers full of their crap, of their clothing.
Okay.
And they never came. And me, along with about 6 other people, were trying to do our laundry, mm-hmm. just cycling through, just, okay, you use it this time. Yeah, yeah, I'll dry some. Okay, you wait. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Normally, it would take me like an hour in there. It took me 4 hours going back and forth to do my laundry because this person, I can't really say what I'd like to say, taking up 3 washers, just letting their...
3 of the how many? You said 6?
Of 6. Just letting their stuff sit in there.
And how long of a period of time was
4
this?
4 hours.
Is they there just a lock on there?
They just let it sit in there. No. And trust me, I had all kinds of thoughts going
really
through my mind.
I really can't believe you didn't like empty it out for them and just set them somewhere in a pile. I feel like that's – but if you're washing and – like, was the dryer affected with that too?
No, the dryers were fine.
Okay. But you said you were taking turns, like washing and drying.
Well,
because
there would be new people coming in. Like, I'd yeah. use one washer and then 2 people are using the other ones, and I had another load. I had like, you know, yeah. 5 or 6 loads I needed to do.
Yeah.
And I had to wait – in the queue, because I didn't want to take up more than one washer.
Did this motivate you to go and find a new washing machine?
No.
No?
Okay. I'll probably just do laundry on a different day of the week.
Okay.
But who does that?
Jerks.
There's other people that need to wash their clothes, and you're taking up 3
Jerks.
And half the washers.
Yeah.
Just letting your stuff sit in there, like your stuff matters.
A little bit of breaking news.
I should have peed in the
hit
washer.
Hit the horn cam.
Wee-oo.
The basketball Vols are now number 20 in the country in the latest AP poll that just dropped. Vols up to number 20 after their win in Toronto over Washington. We'll talk about that probably in hour 2. I can't believe no one took these people's clothes out and just put them in a basket somewhere and set them on top of one of the washers.
Yeah, I mean...
feels like that was a problem that could have been avoided. Because, like, what's
it could have been avoided if the people would just come get their their damn clothes out.
Yeah, but what's that person going to do if everyone would just would have taken their clothes and put them in a pile on top of the washer?
Or, better yet, taken their clothes, put them in a bag, set it on fire, and thrown it out in the yard.
I don't think you should act tough right now after you just let them hog all three washers yesterday. Don't come on the radio acting tough after you just sat there waiting for 4 hours.
It's a community atmosphere.
I understand. You're the community.
You don't, we're not a bunch of pigs over there.
No, but it should be a democracy. Somebody should have taken a vote and says, I vote. We take all these clothes, set them on top of the washer. We don't mess with them. We don't do anything bad to them, but we put them on top. Let's do that. Somebody should have stepped up and been a leader.
I don't think you're you can't really take other people's belongings.
I didn't say take them.
It's not
set them on the washer.
Still, to handle them. If someone did that with my clothes, I'd be mad. Even but I wouldn't leave them there for 4 hours.
If I left my clothes for 4 hours, I would understand if someone did that to me. Now, I don't know. Maybe this person had an emergency. Maybe their kid got sick and got
hurt. I hope so.
And they were in the
hope they did.
They were at the emergency room and couldn't come back. Maybe they fell asleep. I don't know. Maybe they're just jerks. I feel like if you leave your clothes in the washer for 4 hours, if people politely take them and put them in a pile, there is no harm in that.
Maybe somebody should have done that. I don't know.
All I'm saying is don't come on the radio. Don't come on the radio acting tough now.
I'm not acting tough. It's a polite community.
Well, I know, but you're acting tough on the radio.
What do you mean acting tough?
I hope they're dead.
I do.
I'm going to pee in it. You didn't do anything.
No, I said I should have done that.
Yeah, you didn't do a damn thing. You didn't even move them. You just let them hog all three washers yesterday.
And saying I hope they're dead, that's not me being tough. That's just what I hope. That's just what I feel in my heart.
I should have peed in them.
Yeah, I should have, or someone else should have.
You should have at least just taken them out and put them in a pile on top of the other washer. Or put them on top of a basket and just left them in a basket somewhere. That's what you should have done.
It wasn't that simple.
It seems pretty simple to me.
It wasn't that simple.
You let that person assert dominance over the whole community. That person is now the king of the community.
I did leave a note.
You left a note?
A post-it note.
Sounds pretty passive aggressive. What'd you say?
I said to whoever, I think I used the term mouth breather, to whatever mouth breather left all their clothes here while other people were trying to wash. I used the M dash, like the long line, continuing to another line, and I said, F you.
You spell it out?
Yeah, I spelled the whole word. So I hope they got that, and now they realize how mad everyone was.
Okay.
I mean, you can't just take the people's clothes out of the washing machine.
Yeah, you can.
I don't think you can do that.
I think that you can.
Well, anyway.
Feels like it would be a better move than cussing them out.
Anyway, that was Sunday.
But I'd rather read a letter of somebody insinuating that I have low intelligence and that basically hitting me with an FU. But I'd rather have that or just someone take my clothes and put them together for me to go dry later.
I feel like they need to be told that.
Okay. You put your name on it?
No, but I gladly would if they, you know.
You didn't, though.
Well, I mean, why are you picking apart my...
If you want to be a tough guy,
I'm not trying to be a tough guy.
And put your name and apartment number on it.
These people are jerks.
Put your name, your number.
What am I supposed to say? Come to 916 and catch these hands?
If you have anything to say, my phone number is here if you'd like to discuss it further. My name is Cody. Or CM McClure. Put CM, that would have made you sound a lot tougher.
And they would have thought I was an old guy living there, and they would have felt even worse.
I know. That was the goal, right?
And there was an old guy in there. Old guy was just trying to do his laundry, too. It's probably his last load, you know? Guy looked like he's about 104. I felt so bad for him. He's shaking, trying to get the stains out of his T-shirt. I mean, you never know when you're going to do your last load of laundry in life, you know?
That's true.
He couldn't even get a washing machine. So I let him have mine because I'm a nice person. A nice person. Very nice.
Yeah.
Which means I had to wait longer. And then there was this other girl. Just gross.
Did you make any friends at least?
This gross person.
Did you make any friends at least?
No, I didn't make any
friends. I'd imagine you don't want to be friends with the people using the community laundry room.
What's that supposed to mean? There's good people that go in there.
You just said there was a poor old man, a gross woman, and some jerk who left who used three of the six washing
machines.
Well,
there was
a whole bunch of jerks in there. I take you into account. That's another jerk.
There was.
It sounds like there's a real melting pot of of jerks in there.
There was a young couple, too, that was fairly normal. So ranked number 20. How about that? That's good.
Another little bit of breaking basketball news. Apparently the number 25 prospect in the country, Cameron Johnson from Oak Hill Academy, has made his college basketball decision. Did you see where he went?
Kentucky?
No. LSU. Apparently we're still letting LSU cheat in recruiting. Apparently, like, Will Wade's just not going to get in any trouble there, and they're just going to he's gonna serve his little suspension and keep rolling.
Just let him do what he wants, huh?
I guess so. We'll talk about week 11 in the NFL. Pretty boring Sunday, honestly. It didn't feel like there were very many good games. It didn't feel like there were very many games of consequence, although we did have a decisive knockout winner and maybe a new best team in the NFL. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Jeremy Pruitt had his weekly press conference. Haven't seen anything of note. We'll do a roundup, though, for you in hour two as we make hour two mostly about Tennessee. The Vols open up as 5-point dogs, or I guess they opened up at 6. They're currently at 5-point underdogs for their trip to Missouri. We'll do our college football roundup. We'll talk Vols in hour two. I like to make all of hour one about the NFL, especially when Tennessee doesn't play the week before. Feels like the Ravens made another statement yesterday. Congratulations to CM McClure for winning another board bet, sweeping it 5-0. Now, you only get credit for one win in the board victory.
Which is kind of silly. I think I should get all five.
Well, the bet was best 2 out of 3, but you dominated, and so did Lamar Jackson as Deshaun Watson. I thought...
Horrible quarterback.
I thought they moved the ball really well the first two drives and kind of got screwed out of some points. And from that moment on, it was just a debacle for the Houston Texans. As Lamar Jackson and the Ravens kept Deshaun Watson running all day and ran down their throats, they ended the Texans' streak of not giving up a 100-yard rusher as Gus Edwards breaks a 63-yarder at the end of the game to put that streak to rest. The Texans fall to 6-4. The Ravens move to 8-2, still a half game behind the Patriots when it comes to home field advantage in the playoffs. I guess a full game. If they tie, they win, so I don't know. I guess a full game. A game behind.
So Lamar had more total yards, better quarterback rating, or QBR?
Both, but we were going for rating. But, yeah, better than that, double.
Touchdowns.
4-2-0.
Team one.
41-7.
What was the other one?
Completion percentage, I believe.
Completion percentage.
Or clearly. I don't know what it was. Turnovers. Lamar didn't have any. Watson had two.
Lamar clearly the better quarterback. Better passer, too.
Yesterday he was. It was, like I said, I thought the Texans came out early and moved the ball pretty well. Then Deshaun Watson, I don't know what the hell he was doing. And his offensive line is trash, don't get me wrong, but he was not doing them any favors yesterday. Just holding onto the ball for way too long. Like, you ain't Lamar Jackson, bro. Like, you're not going to be able to run around in the pocket. You're not in college anymore. His first turnover, the fumble, was just like he had 10 seconds to throw the ball. He just sat there and kept holding it and then tried to run around in the pocket and fumbled. And then their second drive, they get the ball back and they go for it on 4th and 2, and DeAndre Hopkins got interfered with. That's one of the worst no calls I've ever seen, especially whenever you review it and you still uphold it. It makes me really mad that they have this replay rule because they're not using it. Like, DeAndre Hopkins clearly got interfered with in the end zone on a touchdown throw that could have made it 7-0 and got the Texans ground, you know, started off well and, you know, maybe got Deshaun Watson off and running and made this a game. Instead, the refs are sitting there looking at it. They don't call it live. They review it. They don't call it after review. And then the Ravens take over the game. It was one of those plays where you're like, man, you have replay. Use it. Okay, now you used it. Okay, make the right call. make the right call. It's clear that this guy's getting tackled in the end zone, and they don't call it. And then Lamar Jackson proceeded to hit 13 straight passes and start picking apart the Houston Texans defense. And then whenever the Texans got behind, the Ravens just kept coming and coming and coming and blocking, blitzing, and getting through what Houston was trying to do offensively. That trade for Marcus Peters has really paid dividends. Since the Marcus Peters trade, the Ravens' defense has the highest pressure percentage in the NFL and forced the second lowest passer rating. Since they got Marcus Peters, that defense has gotten better across the board. The Ravens had a bad defense, which is why I didn't really believe in them, but they've proven over the last 3 weeks that Marcus Peters and having a good cornerback has allowed them to really shut things down. Like I said, they've given up the second lowest passer rating over the last 3 games. The quarterbacks they faced, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, and Deshaun Watson. So two of the best 5 guys and a legend in Tom Brady. It's not like they've beaten up on like the Patriots' early schedule, right, where they went and beat Luke Falk. And
they just have a mentality, too. Their team just – they're tough.
They're going to be tough to beat at home, especially.
The Ravens are tough. They run the ball well. They're playing defense. They're getting after quarterbacks now, like you were just talking about. I mean, they are – and then they've got the best weapon in football right now. Lamar Jackson, he's like Patrick Mahomes 2.0. He's had an incredible year. He's going to be the MVP.
Well, I'm not going to give him MVP yet, but he is the leader right now. They're still
if he keeps it the same pace, yeah. I think he.
Oh no, you're
it.
Right. If he is the leader right now, but there's still 6 games left, and you know Russell Wilson's been really damn good too.
Yeah, I mean I love Russell Wilson, and he's probably.
Although it feels like it's a 2-team race at this point, so maybe it's just Russell Wilson versus Lamar Jackson. We'll see how both teams finish the stretch. The Ravens have to go to L.A. next week, next Monday night, to play the Rams.
Huge game.
Shout out to Monday Night Football getting another good game. That'll be a couple in a row for them. Good for them.
Yeah, which is –
Seahawks, 49ers. Tonight I think is going to be pretty good between the Chiefs and Chargers in Mexico. And then they'll get Rams, Ravens. So that's 3 pretty good games for them in a row. Congratulations to Monday Night Football.
Yeah, it's gonna be a big game for the Ravens, a big game for the Rams too.
Are we buying nice the Ravens win. As legit in the sense of a?
Yeah.
When I say legit, I mean are they a team that you think can win the Super Bowl? Are they one of the 2 or 3 teams you're gonna pick? Are they the team you want to pick right now? Are they the best team in football?
I think they're the best team in football, but I don't know if that will equate to winning a Super Bowl. I think right now they're the best team. They handled the Patriots. I mean, to beat the Texans 41-7, just dominated yesterday. They're the best team in football, and I think they're playing the toughest of anybody. I don't know if they can win a Super Bowl, though, because that's like a new level. No matter how good you are, if you haven't been there and done it before, which Harbaugh has, but Lamar, it would be his first time doing something like that. I know he got to the playoffs last year, right, basically sacrificed a game there. When they lost to the Chargers.
Played pretty terribly through 3 quarters. Played good late in the game and almost brought them back, but played really bad through 3 quarters.
I think I'm prepared to say that they get to the AFC Championship game.
They should be the 2 seed right now.
Can you go into Foxborough in the cold? I mean, can Lamar do that against Belichick again?
I'm not going to say that. They might not have to go into Foxborough. I mean, they just have to have the same record as the Patriots, and I'm saying they're going to be the 2 seed at least. They could be the 1 seed. Ravens, if you look at the rest of the schedule, we talked about their Monday Night Football at Rams. They then play the 49ers at the Bills, Jets at Browns, Steelers. I'm thinking they'll go at least 4-2 down the stretch. At least.
Yeah.
Maybe lose at the Rams and then lose one more of the 49ers at Bills, at Browns, Steelers, maybe.
The thing I worry about them with the Super Bowl is by the end of the year, Lamar's probably going to be – I mean, he's going to be a little beat up.
Well, that's the question. That's what people are worried about.
Just doing the stuff that he does, as special as it is, I don't know how long he can do it.
It's not like he's taking big hits, though. People said the same thing about Russell Wilson when he first came in the league and – said, he's not going to be able to play this way. He's not going to be able to run anymore. And Russell Wilson, you know, mastered the I'm going to run for as many yards as I can. I'm going to get down. You're not going to get a good shot at me. And Russell Wilson, you know, is in by now he's in what, year seven, it feels like, playing high level football. So people keep waiting for Lamar Jackson to turn into RG3, and it isn't happening. They're gonna keep waiting as he wins MVP and keep saying, if this isn't going to hold, this isn't going to hold. Who cares? If he gives you four great years and wins an MVP or two and gets you to the AFC Championships a couple times, I think every Baltimore Ravens fan would say, okay, cool, well worth it. Now the Patriots, like I said, I'm not penciling them as the one seed. I'm worried about the Patriots. They didn't look good yesterday. That offense is broken. I don't think the Patriots' offense. Now, look, I mean, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt when it comes to these games. And if they get home field advantage in the AFC playoffs, I think everyone's still going to turn around and pick them to make the Super Bowl. But they didn't do much against that Eagles team. That Eagles team just couldn't score on their defense, which maybe that's going to be enough for the Patriots. Their special teams and defense is great, and maybe the offense will just have to not make mistakes. And Tom Brady's not going to make mistakes, even as he is not very good.
Well, that's why I think Belichick will have something for Lamar Jackson, you know, because even in the first game, Lamar, he was good. He put up some touchdowns on him, but they relied mostly on the running game against the Patriots. Like, Lamar was not a superstar in that game. I think Belichick will have something for him. So that'll come down to whether the Ravens can establish a run on him again.
Yeah, I think it's going to come down that game. I think the trip to the Super Bowl, at least between those two teams, is going to come down to who has home field advantage.
Well, that's your AFC Championship. All right, would you take anybody else? I mean, I just can't imagine anybody else getting there.
I can imagine the Kansas City Chiefs beating both these teams. I'm not going to say that the Chiefs can't beat either one of those teams. They're 2-0 against Baltimore the last 2 years, although I believe both those games have been in Kansas City.
I mean, I guess we got to give Mahomes a little time to get back in the swing of things. But
I mean,
they don't
400 yards. They threw 400 yards and
lost to the Titans.
I know, but it wasn't
they
his
no
fault.
Defense.
I mean, I understand that, but I'm saying like I'm not giving Mahomes more time. Like you've got this vendetta against Mahomes for some reason. Mahomes isn't the reason they lost last week.
I don't have a vendetta against Mahomes.
You do. You've been wanting to
state guy, but I mean that's kind of stupid, but.
Like to give Mahomes time, he's not been the problem. Mahomes is still really good. Now the defense
catch up and mac and cheese. You know, you really taking him seriously?
The defense is an issue.
You don't see Lamar doing that. I wonder what Lamar's eating.
I don't know.
He's a power eater. You know, Lamar's a power eater.
Is he? He's pretty slender.
Yeah, but he's a good eater.
You think so?
He's eating cheeseburgers.
Okay.
He's eating ribs.
Okay.
He's eating stuff that Americans eat.
Okay.
Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, like, Americans eat steak. He's eating
steak.
I mean,
Patrick Mahomes is so cute with his Easy Mac and his ketchup, isn't he? You don't see Lamar doing that. Lamar's eating steak.
We don't know what Lamar eats.
Lamar doesn't eat well-done steak either. Lamar's eating regular steak.
Okay. Cam, can you Google what does Lamar Jackson eat to see if we can get to the bottom of this? So, no, I'm not going to pencil in and say it's going to be Patriots and Ravens. I still think the Chiefs are going to have something to say.
I'm penciling.
And hell, the Oakland Raiders might have something to say.
Oh, come on.
They might.
It's going to be Ravens-Patriots. I'll pencil it in now. You can have the field.
Just to get to the AFC Championship game? Or coming out of the AFC?
Come out of the AFC.
Oh, you're not. You looked a little soft there whenever you realized you
were.
If you want to pencil it in, you asked if there's any other team that can get to the AFC Championship. I'll take the field.
Okay, well, then we each have to get two right.
No, you said that or the field. I'm taking the field.
Okay, so you can't get the Patriots or the Ravens. If one of them makes it, you lose.
No, you're saying both teams have to make the AFC Championship. I'm saying no, there'll be a team that can get in there besides them.
I'm not letting
them.
You box me in.
I'm not trying to box you in. I'm just taking what you said. You don't actually believe it. You act like it's just the Patriots and Ravens.
It is.
When it comes time to pencil it in then.
You keep trying to push me into these board bets, and you keep losing.
I don't keep losing.
What am I?
We're fine.
I've won, what, five of the last six?
You're only like a couple games ahead.
This
no big deal.
The Lamar board bet should count for at least double.
No, it shouldn't. The
I
bet was two
five
out of three.
To nothing.
Well, when Alabama finishes 10th in the playoff standings, I'm not going to ask for two.
You shouldn't get two. It wasn't a best two out of three bet. This was a best two out of three bet, so I should at least get two wins for this.
No, you won the bet. You won the bet.
But to sweep it.
You win
it,
one. When Alabama doesn't even come close to making the playoff, I'm not going to ask for extra credit.
That's a whole other story because they're going to be without Tua now.
Yeah.
So
you didn't take it into account. Their quarterback's limping around. That's on you.
they're going to be without Tua.
By the way, we should have put a board bet. I don't know how many times you're going to keep buying into Bo Nix. Should have boxed you on a board bet there. I don't know how many times you're going to keep picking Bo Nix to do something.
They came back in the game.
I mean, still lost by a touchdown.
Well, yeah, they lost. I mean, lost.
They were dominating that game.
Okay. You don't see me pointing out all the ones you got wrong.
You were just trying to. That's what you literally just try to do with the board bet thing.
Well, I guess I did, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. Don't get defensive now.
Well, you were trying to box me in.
I'm not boxing you in. You asked a question whether or not I think a third team can get there. I'm saying yeah.
I'll take Ravens, Patriots, and you take the field then.
Just to get to the AFC Championship game.
To get to the AFC Championship. Go ahead. Box me in.
So Patriots, Ravens, that's your matchup.
Go ahead. Take your cardboard out and put it on over my head. Go ahead and box me in. I'm going to let you.
Nah, I don't have a box big enough.
Go to hell, first of all. And also, I'm going to be right on this one, too. Ravens and Patriots, that's your AFC Championship game.
Okay. Can put it down there. I'll take a third team getting in.
Imagine riding with the 6-4 Chiefs.
It's all right. I'll ride with them.
Lost to the Titans.
I'll ride with them.
The lowly Titans.
Jacoby Brissett, the Colts.
Chiefs have no defense.
Let's see what the Colts can do when they go on the road.
Lose.
I mean, the Chiefs, are 2-0 against your Ravens. That's all I'm saying.
They got the Ravens early in the year. Where were you getting 2-0? Where'd the other win come?
Last year, at the end, like week 16.
It's a new season.
It was Lamar Jackson. I mean, it was the same Ravens.
He was just working his way in there. I mean,
okay.
If Flacco hadn't been
out
all that,
week 16. I mean, Lamar Jackson's played 16 games.
He was working his way in.
He had played for five games up until that point.
Where was the game
played? Kansas City. Yeah. I acknowledge that. I said that both of them are in Kansas City.
Lamar's got
listen to the conversation I was having with myself.
Sort of. He's got some ridiculous record as a starter.
Lamar? He's 13-3.
13-3?
Yeah.
I mean, that's something.
Not counting the playoff. I think we're ignoring the playoff there, but he is.
It was his first time.
I understand. I'm not holding it against him. He's 13-3. Yeah, his last 16 regular season starts, 63% completion percentage, 3,222 passing yards, 7.7 yards per attempt, 24 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 1,252 rushing yards, 10 rushing touchdowns, for a total of 4,474 yards, 34 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 13-3 record. Lamar Jackson's great. I'm not trying to take away from his greatness.
Never saw Blake Bortles do that.
No. What does Blake Bortles have to do with anything?
Just pointing out that you never saw him put up those kind of numbers.
Yeah. I mean, just big, goofy white quarterbacks, you're right. I'm not taking the Jaguars, he doesn't play with the Jaguars anymore. I'm not taking your Rams to get to the AFC Championship game either.
Who, the Rams?
Yeah.
To get to the AFC Championship?
Yeah.
They're not in the AFC.
Well, they're not getting there, are they?
No.
Okay, so Blake Bortles has nothing to do with this conversation.
I know, I just wanted to point it out.
Okay, I was just...
Sometimes I take a shot at Blake Bortles.
What's your beef with Blake Bortles?
Don't worry about it. It's personal.
Look at the rest of the Week 11 action next. It's Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric.
This football season,
Talk Sports is powered by Lloyd's Electric, professional building services from the top down. We understand that needs vary by client, and we can work with you to develop a turnkey maintenance package to fit your budget and risk profile. Our maintenance solutions provide you the peace of mind to focus on your business while your facilities deliver maximum performance. You see a 10-time return on investment with proper building maintenance. LloydsElectricService.com. 865-692-6700, Lloyd's Electric Service, your business, our priority. You agree with my take that I'm a little worried about the Patriots? Or you think they'll be fine? Because I think Brady looks a little like he's been in the spin cycle. Like he's been sitting in the in your washing machine for 4 hours unattended to. Meaning, I think
if my washing machine could produce a spin cycle,
yeah,
then I wouldn't have to go to the community. My washing machine, Lamar Jackson is a regular washing machine spin cycle.
Yeah.
Get it? You know, he's got the spin move.
Sure.
In football, when he runs at a defender, sometimes he'll turn his body all the way around and pull a spin move. Mm-hmm. And that's like a regular washing machine. And then mine's like Brady right now, no spin cycle. It's a pretty good analogy.
Yeah, I was really just wanting to say that Tom Brady looks a little washed.
he didn't look great yesterday, but haven't we said, and I know eventually we'll quit saying it because eventually he'll just be too old, but didn't we say it last year?
If I keep saying this for the next 2 years, I'll eventually be right. Like I feel like I don't think I was necessarily wrong last year.
I mean, he is 43.
No, he's an old man. He's 42. I do think I don't think I was wrong last year when saying that I thought that they were beatable and that Brady wasn't at the top of his game. He put together really good drives in Kansas City and still would have thrown the game-losing interception if D. Ford, who didn't affect the play, didn't line up half a yard off sides. Like, he still threw that game-losing interception. Although, like, he got the penalty, and then he finished the drive and scored a touchdown, and Big Gronkowski took advantage of poor Eric Berry and just dominated him down the field, and that was a wrap.
Yeah.
Then in the Super Bowl, he scored 13 points and did enough, I guess.
The defense, yeah, they just shut the Rams down. I mean, anybody can beat the Rams now. You just got to score a touchdown and you win that game.
Yeah, it's brutal to see the way that they have just completely fallen off. It was pretty damning last night, if we switch gears off the Patriots a little bit, and just look. You know, those two guys we were watching last night were the back-to-back Coach of the Years in the NFL, who were heralded as offensive geniuses.
Well, somebody's got to win it, I guess.
Well, yeah. But, like, we gave it to them and praised their offenses, and then we watched one of the most boring Sunday Night Football games in a long time, as neither offense can score anymore.
Well, based on what they had done the last 2 years, though, I mean, I understand them winning those awards.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not trying to take the awards away from them. I'm mostly just saying, A, life comes at you fast, and B, it feels like anyone could come in with a new system and win year one, but the key is, can you do it in year two? Like, I think Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson are going to face this a little bit, because last year they started grounding and pounding, but they didn't have the same type of college-looking system as they do this year, or at least the run-heavy, kind of some gadgets in the backfield type of system. The key for them will be, can they adjust to the adjustments that are coming? And just like the Rams in the Super Bowl last year, the adjustments will probably come whenever the Patriots and Ravens square off in the playoffs again, even though I just took the field. If they are to play in the AFC Championship, I'm imagining Belichick will show you how to stop that Ravens offense. We'll kind of lay the blueprint for the rest of the NFL.
Like he did with the Rams.
Just like he did with the Rams.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking too. And that's, you know, they're going to be found out. Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson, this won't continue forever. He's probably not going to be able to do it even next year. Teams will figure it out. But it's hard. Like, what teams really, besides like New England and Seattle, Green Bay maybe? I mean, what teams are able to keep it consistent with the system?
Well, I think the Patriots, I mean, the system's been different.
You got to evolve.
We laugh about Tom Brady being a system quarterback, whatever. Like, I think that's mostly just saying you win with Bill Belichick. It's not about your system, because to Bill Belichick's credit and why he's the GOAT is that he evolves. Every year's team looks different. Some teams are pass heavy, short passes, quick passes. At the end of last year, they won the Super Bowl by grounding and pounding, running the ball.
It's the same thing people have always said about Saban. But it looks like his evolution may have come to an end.
Well, even Saban's evolution was always a little bit behind the times, in my opinion. Like, he was still running the pro-style offense, try to grind you out as college football had revolved around him. He was able to do it because he had the big-time five stars and had, you know, had a defense that he could coach, had elite defensive coordinators like Jeremy Pruitt and Kirby Smart. He's also a brilliant defensive mind. And like I said, he had a talent advantage over everybody. Mm-hmm. But then, like, eventually you saw the teams who could also recruit big talent say, hey, we're going with the spread offense. So then Nick Saban's like, okay, well, I better do it too. So I won't even give him credit for being an innovator.
He was a little behind by the time he lost to Oklahoma in that Sugar Bowl.
Right. To his credit.
He brought in Lane Kiffin.
To his credit, he adapted. But yeah. I'm not giving him credit for being ahead of the curb. He was a little bit late on it, and then, you know, got to it and then started beating them at their own game. Kind of like Coach K. Like, Coach K 3-4 year guys, gonna keep doing that, gonna keep doing that, gonna keep winning. And then eventually everyone was just like, you know what, we're gonna take these one and dones, mix them in with some high level talent that's still around, and we're gonna beat you that way. So then Coach K said, you know what, we better go get Jahlil Okafor.
He started doing what Calipari did.
And then started doing it better than him. So, like, right. I'm giving Coach K credit. I'm just not calling them innovators. They're guys who just weren't stubborn and didn't keep banging their head against the wall. We haven't seen it with Sean McVay. We haven't seen Sean McVay adjust. The league figured him out this offseason. And maybe last night, you know, Collinsworth kept trying to give them credit. Like, hey, you know, they're usually zone blocking. Now they're going with some power runs to the right side. This is better. And they scored 17 points. Now, it's against the Bears defense, which whatever, like, in the past couple of years, if you score 17 against the Bears defense, you're like, you've accomplished something.
Well, I mean, you could tell watching that game. I mean, it felt to me like when the Rams got up 10 to nothing even, it was over.
Yeah.
I mean, that just – those two teams are both so stagnant right now.
The Bears had their one drive to cut it to 10 to 7. Trubisky made a couple plays. They finally got Tariq Cohen the ball out in space. But that was it. That was the only drive.
Yeah, and the Rams are without weapons, too. I mean, besides Cooper Kupp right now, Robert Woods
was out last night.
He's got personal issues. Brandon Cooks sucks. He's been hurt.
He might not play the rest of the year.
Gurley.
With his head issues. They finally gave Gurley the ball, which maybe that was the biggest adjustment they made. It was like, hey, 25 carries for Gurley. We can't keep trying to save him for down the line.
Yeah,
we got to take what little is left of his knees and just rot him into the ground now while we're paying him, or else we're all going to be out of jobs and everyone's going to think we're bad and we're going to get caught into this Jared Goff contract next year and then everything's going to end. So we got to start giving the ball to Todd Gurley, and he got 25 of the 34 carries last night.
Yeah, and that, I mean, their offense looked a little bit smoother.
A little bit, but not much. A little bit. They finally started throwing the ball to Gurley again. Like, he had 3 catches for 36 yards. Like, he looked good again last night, and it made the Rams look a little bit more competent, but they kind of hid Jared Goff. They're like, hey, throw the ball 18 times.
Yeah.
That's it. Throw it 18 times. On the other side, you had Mitchell Trubisky, who can't throwing the ball 43 times.
At least the Rams are still kind of in the playoff picture. I don't think they're going to make it, but they're in the picture, whereas Chicago is just, you know, it's horrible.
Chicago's
no offense.
It's a wrap. Chicago's done. It's a wrap. And I think you'll see Mitchell Trubisky at least be challenged by a competent starting quarterback next year. There's talk of Cam Newton coming to Chicago. He said he'll open it. He's open to the trade. So I guess that's got some leg room there. The Rams, yeah, I mean, they play the Ravens on Monday Night Football. We talked about that next week. If they don't win that game, it might be a wrap for them because they still have to go play at the Cowboys, at the 49ers, at the Cardinals, home for the Seahawks. Like, that's going to be a tough way to go and having to finish at least 4-1.
Yeah, they're probably not going to make
the playoffs. And then 10-6 might still not even get you in the playoffs because the Vikings yesterday had a big historic comeback. We'll talk about it next. We'll continue to break down Week 11. It's Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric.
This foot.
The Minnesota Vikings made some history. Teams had lost 97 straight regular season games when trailing by 20-plus points at halftime. The Broncos were somehow up 20-0 at half, but the Vikings came back and won 27-23. Is that a glass half full or a glass half empty if you're a Minnesota Viking fan?
I think glass half full.
Okay.
Shows you have the ability to come back. And, I mean, when has Kirk Cousins been able to bring a team back from down 20?
Nah, I believe that was the first win he's had in a comeback in a fourth quarter game.
I'm taking that as a positive for Minnesota. Now, sure, they got down 20 to the Broncos, but that Broncos team is really not as bad as they look.
That Broncos team is poorly coached, though, and
yeah, but they've had a lot of close games. They've lost mainly close games. They don't really get blown out. I mean, I don't think they're.
That's why I feel like they're a poorly coached team. They find a way to lose games. Yeah. Even yesterday, they were driving for the win after blowing that lead, and Vic Fangio acted like he had all the time in the world, and they ended up running out of time.
Yeah.
Because he took a 17-play drive and was milking the clock and ran out of time in the end zone. They needed one more play.
Yeah, that was not proper clock management, but the fact that the Vikings were down 20, though, does not make me think they're any less good. I mean, I give them credit for winning the game.
Okay. In the NFL, like every team, you know, every game is a top 32 game.
That's right.
That's the way I say it every week. Like when people talk about college football versus the NFL, I like to point out you get a top 32 game every game. You don't get that in college football. We celebrate ranked games all the time. Every game is a ranked game in college, in the NFL.
It feels like if the Redskins play the Ravens right now, though, that's not really a ranked game.
Sure, but I mean the
I get what you're saying.
The talent disparity. I mean, look, if you look at Alabama playing number 25, or you know Ohio State playing number 25, like I mean, it'll be a similar outcome, in my opinion, at least. I mean, just look at Ohio's schedule. They've played some top ranked teams and
blasted them.
At least some ranked teams and blasted them.
Yeah, yeah. At least you don't have any like. I'm sure you've seen the SEC schedule this week.
Yeah, like, I mean, LSU is favored by what, like 45 over Arkansas?
Well, yeah, and that's one of the
better games.
That's one of the few conference games.
It's the week that we talk about it every year where basically every SEC team takes a bye week. That's where we're at this week, where Tennessee and Missouri usually gets the CBS nod because it's the game of the week, but this year they're giving it to Texas A&M and Georgia. So that's the game of the weekend in the SEC, but then, yeah, Tennessee and Missouri is probably the second best. A battle of 2 5-5 teams.
Yeah, it's a pretty embarrassing slate.
Cam, you taking that as a glass half full or glass half empty for the Vikings, who, you know, a loss would have been bad. A loss would have made the wild card race at least a think. But the Vikings stay, they're only a half game behind the Packers, who were off this week, and they're still two games clear, or at least a game and a half clear of other teams for the wild card race.
I'd say half full because, okay. I think it does show that like you can kind of trust Kirk Cousins right now. I think that's kind of been their issue is can Kirk win you a game? And I think it kind of like he showed it, you know, yesterday doing that comeback. Because, yeah, like you said, one in 99 now? Like, that's insane. I'm sure they evaluated what went wrong in that first half, especially, you know, at halftime. If they just did it with that little comeback there, they learned a little bit.
I think they were just trying to run the ball against a team that can stop the run pretty well. Like, Dalvin Cook got bottled up. It wasn't like Kirk Cousins had bad stats going into halftime. Mm-hmm. He was 7 of 8 for, like, 33 yards when I checked in. It was just they were dinking and dunking and trying to run the ball, and then you know when you fall down 20 points, all of a sudden they let Kirk Cousins start throwing it, and he started hitting digs and started making some plays.
Yeah, but yeah, it was good for him though. I think he needed that. Like he's playing really well right now, and I think that helps his confidence even more. Helps his receivers' confidence because they are winning like some one-on-one matchups, making big plays, things like that. So I think it's just like it's a good confidence builder for them moving forward.
Yeah, I mean Kirk Cousins has. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let me check. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games this year with his quarterback rating over 130. That's pretty stout.
Yeah,
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, he's been really good this year.
Yeah, he's they're still one of my favorite teams in the NFC. I mean, I think they're going to make a lot of noise. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Vikings get to the Super Bowl.
No, I mean, I think you can drop any of those six teams in the NFC, and it's going to spit out different Super Bowl teams.
Them, Green Bay,
every simulation
Seattle,
you do
San
would
Francisco.
Spit out something different. I believe in all of those teams, even the Cowboys if they get in.
I'm
worried about their defense, but I think if Dak Prescott is playing, continues playing at the level he's been playing at, like the Cowboys can get hot and get in there. That would probably be the team I have the least amount of confidence in, but that's also the team that it will have the worst record in the playoffs. Like, if they win their division, they'll get the 4 seed, and you know they'll get to host the Vikings or the Seahawks most likely, or the 49ers if the Seahawks are able to beat them for the division. So, I mean, like the Cowboys will have to beat a good team at home, but they'll be at home in the playoffs.
I think at this point I believe in the NFC North and the NFC West. I'm writing off the South and the East. I don't think the Saints are as strong as those other teams.
Oh, wow, you're usually a Saints supporter. You're writing them off?
Not really. Not really. That's
and all last year you talked about how you hope they made the Super Bowl. Like literally all last year, that was the team you wanted to see make the Super Bowl in the NFC.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
It was the Bears.
No, it wasn't. You said you wanted
to see the Bears.
You said you wanted to see Drew Brees versus Tom Brady.
Well, yeah, I would have liked
many times.
Well, I would have liked to have seen that quarterback matchup. Yeah,
yeah.
I was pulling for the Bears. I mean, what I'd like to see this year is we finally get the career achievement game and get Brady versus Rodgers. That's what I would prefer to see this year. So you're
done on Brady Breeze already after winning it all last year?
I mean, Breeze is not going to get there. Plus, Rodgers wasn't in the picture last year, so I'd rather see Brady Rodgers always. But so, I like the NFC North and the NFC West.
I won't give up on the Saints. I would rank them behind those two conferences, divisions, like you're talking about. But it ain't like the 49ers have looked great lately. They can't stop Kyler Murray.
It's going to be
the only quarterback on their schedule they can't really stop is Kyler Murray.
You know what? I've narrowed it down. I'm going to write off the Vikings and the Niners.
You're writing them off?
Well, I'm not writing them off. Those are my 3 and 4. But I think it'll come down. It'll be the Seahawks or the Packers. Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
That's where I'm at right now in week 10 or wherever we are.
I like the way the NFC is shaping up. I like the quarterback matchups we might have. If you just look at the top six right now, and the Cowboys are a game up on the Eagles, although the Cowboys play the Patriots this week, so maybe they get that game back. But Dak's been balling. Kirk Cousins has been balling. Russell Wilson's been balling. Drew Brees, career achievement. Aaron Rodgers, balling. Jimmy Garoppolo, probably the weakest one with the best team around him.
We're about to get a huge game, too, between the Packers and the Niners.
Yeah.
That's going to be an awesome
game. Is that next week? Is that the game that's flexed next weekend?
Is that Sunday night?
Yeah, they flexed to put that one on in primetime so everyone could watch it.
That's going to be nice.
The Packers better hope that George Kittle is not back, because the 49ers look like a drastically different team without George Kittle. Although the Packers will be coming off of a bye, which in the past means that's something good, but, man, this year – as of week 11, I found this stat really interesting coming out of the weekend. Teams coming off of a bye are 8-16, which is crazy. Usually we think of bye weeks being good. Teams coming off bye weeks this year have won only 33% of their games.
Big week for your road team narrative, too.
Was it? A lot
of road teams won this weekend. Not as many as that weekend where the home teams did, but quite a few.
Home team swept that weekend.
Well, yeah, it was quite a few, though. I want to say it was probably 9 or 10. It was a lot. So, good weekend for you there.
I think it was just 6.
Was it really?
Yeah, I mean, maybe against the spread is a little bit different, but the Patriots, Falcons, Jets, Saints, Bills, Cowboys, that was it.
Oh.
I'll take the credit, I guess, but no, it seemed a little bit more even.
I apologize to our audience for a false narrative.
But like I said, if you go against the spread, like the Broncos covered against the Vikings, add them in there. I guess the Cardinals didn't cover against the 49ers. They should have. I guess they got the push.
Maybe that's what
the
it
Bengals
looked like.
Got the cover, and the Bears didn't.
It looked like early on because I was counting that Minnesota game.
Okay,
they came back and won.
Yeah. Hour one of the books. We'll switch it up. We'll talk more college football and basketball in hour two. It's Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric.